You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
From the broadcast center of WCRN 830, you're tuned to All Politics is Local. He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. Good Sunday morning. We're picking back up on the conversation with the authors of Easy Money and the Great Ponzi Scheme, John Agostinelli and Chris Micho.
Earlier, I'd asked a question about people who are upside down. In other words, their mortgage is more than the value of their home, and some of these people just walk away. And, under U.S. laws, they can declare bankruptcy and get out of that and do a foreclosure. And some people can actually work with a bank to do a strategic foreclosure. What do you got to say about all that circumstance?
Well, that's a very interesting thing that you mentioned there, because we saw quite a bit of that. As a matter of fact, one in five defaults are what is referred to as strategic defaults. Chris and I like to refer them as premeditated defaults. Premeditated defaults are when a borrower is upside down in their mortgage, where they owe more on the mortgage than their home is worth, and they decide not to pay their mortgage, not because they can't afford it, but because they think that is the right financial thing to do for themselves. The problem with us in this regard is that $46 billion of the TARP funds, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, that was supposed to go and assist the banks and purchase their troubled assets to prevent them from failing, went to defaulted borrowers, whether it was in the Home Affordable Mortgage Program or the Home Affordable Refinance Program or principal reductions. And in part of other policies that exacerbated the problem was the Debt Relief Act of 2007. And these were all perverse incentives that really made it not sting as much to walk away from your financial obligations.
I guess I have a real problem with that. That's a situation where a person basically said, I made a promise to pay this money back, and screw the bank, screw everybody, I'm walking away, I'm not going to pay my obligation, even though I can. And there's something wrong with people who do that.
We agree, and if we look at the statistics, almost 2 million of the 7 million foreclosures in this country were a result of that.
And who picked up that slack? Taxpayers.
Taxpayers, and it gets spread out in other ways too. If you're purchasing a home today, you are in part subsidizing for those losses.
I guess the other thing, it's just part of the circumstance where people don't have responsibility for themselves, or they feel like if they get in a tough bind, so what? I'll just shuffle it off to somebody else. And I think it's just a decline in our society, and it's not good. And so what's going to happen when there are more of these takers than makers? And I think we may have already reached that number where there are more takers than we have makers. And what that means is, guess what? The taxpayers, they're not going to be enough of them to cover the takers. And I think we may have reached that point.
We're very, if we haven't already, we're very, very close, yeah.
I know that somebody might remember Mitt Romney said something like that, the 42%. Well, I think right now it's 50% or maybe even a little bit higher. And, of course, Mitt was vilified for making a true statement.
And it's the concern of the moral hazard when you have policies like that in place. And what will that do to the mindset of borrowers in the future?
Nothing good can come of it.
Well, if I just might interject. So John is absolutely right. The moral hazard for individuals. Now think of the moral hazard for government. So they got away with it once, borrowing ourselves out of this kind of a crisis, doubling our deficit in the last 8 years. What's going to happen in the next crisis? It's going to get easier if they can just keep borrowing the money until people stop buying those bonds. It can be a problem.
Well, one of the interesting things is, people think about a lot of that debt is Chinese and Saudi, et cetera. But actually, the majority is the American investor. I own some government bonds through, various pension plans and things. And, if you think about it, these things start going belly up, the country starts to go belly up, it's a house of cards. Those pension plans, they're crashing, going bankrupt. Individuals. I mean, this country, can be on a real verge of total disaster. I hate to sound like that, but just look at it, folks. Just look at what's going on. Our politicians, the people we elect to represent us, are selling us down the river, taking the easy path.
I mean, the hot topic now, of course, in the political world is who's going to be the next president of the United States. But does the next president of the United States, depending on no matter what side of the aisle, I mean, is this something that can be fixed in 4 years? Is this something that can be fixed in 8 years of administration?
Are you referring to the real estate policies or debt itself?
Yeah. Well, both, yeah.
Well, we'll touch on the real estate policy part of it. The president has enormous power in who he appoints to the head of HUD, the head of FHFA, which is the conservator for Fannie and Freddie. And we see what the Obama administration appointments have done.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently, Mel Watt, the director of FHFA, has just announced that they are going to start to do principal reductions at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
So it does matter is what I'm hearing, because, I mean, if you put the right guy in the position, and so elections do matter once again.
But it's those 535 people called senators and congressmen.
Yep, do your job.
Make the laws.
Maybe Bill Belichick should be president.
Do your job.
Hey, guys, real quick, we really appreciate you guys taking up your Sunday morning to be with us. How can we learn more about the book and learn more about you guys?
So our book will be out in early fall. Just Google Easy Money and the Great Real Estate Ponzi Scheme. We just finished up with a publisher last week, and that's the target date for the publication.
Well, you guys have been great. John Agustinelli and Chris Micho, the authors of Easy Money and the Great Ponzi Scheme. We really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll have you back and we can talk more about it.
That's great. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you. And now we've reached the favorite part of my program.
Now here's Terry with this date in history.
And today is Sunday, May 1st, the 122nd day of 2016. And today is Judy Collins' birthday. She is 77, one of the songs singers I grew up with. And also Rita Coolidge is 71. She also used to be Mrs. Christofferson, by the way. And actor Dan Florek is 65. You remember him from Law & Order SVU. And country singer Tim McGraw, one of my favorites, is 49 years old. And
I like his bride.
She's very nice, yes, yes. And in 1707, the Kingdom of Great Britain was created as a treaty merging England and Scotland took effect. In 1786, Mozart's opera, The Marriage of Figaro, premiered in Vienna. In 1866, 3 days of race-related rioting, easy for me to say, erupted in Memphis, Tennessee as white mobs targeted blacks, 46 of whom were killed, along with two whites. The violence had a good effect. It spurred the passage of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution defining American citizenship and equal protection under the law. In 1898, Commodore George Dewey gave the command, "You may fire when you're ready, Gridley," as an American naval force destroyed a Spanish squadron in Manila Bay during the Spanish-American War. 1915, during World War I, a German submarine torpedoed and damaged the SS Gulflight, an American tanker near Britain's Scilly Isles, even though the United States was still neutral in the conflict. In 1941, Orson Welles' picture, Citizen Kane, premiered in New York. 1945, a day after Adolf Hitler took his life, Admiral Karl Dönitz effectively became sole leader of the Third Reich with the suicide of Hitler's propaganda minister, Joseph Goebbels. In 1960, Soviet Union shot down American U-2 reconnaissance plane over Sverdlovsk and captured its pilot, Francis Gary Powers. And lastly, James W. Whitaker in 1973 became the first American to conquer Mount Everest as he and Sherpa guide Ngwang Gambo reached the summit. And that is history in May 1st.
So it's May Day. Terry's this day in history. So thank you for that, Terry. It's always an exciting thing, and it makes you think back about, oh yeah, I know that person, or I know this person, or that person. So we've had a busy week, Terry.
We have. It's been very busy, and now we need to get on your campaign, John. Get you elected state representative in the 7th Middlesex District.
Baby steps, but we're on our way. We are going to do that. We want to thank Lou Dobbs for joining us this morning.
Yep.
Mike Stopa as well. John and Chris are still in the studio with us, the authors of Easy Money and the Great Ponzi Scheme, and Janet Lombruno and Marshall Horowitz of the Mass GOP. Next week, we're going to probably be picking up Donald Trump if he can win Indiana on Tuesday, which might look like a little uphill battle because it looks like Ted Cruz is doing well in the polls.
Oh, well, I just heard something that, the Donald's 15 points up on him in Indiana.
15 points up.
That was on the news here just a few minutes ago.
So Donald Trump could potentially wrap up the nomination for president of the United States from the Republican side on Tuesday.
He can't.
The path will be cleared for him.
You know, he needs 241 more votes, and, Indiana only has 57, but it is a winner-take-all. Following
it's a winner take most, I think.
And then there's Nebraska, West Virginia, Oregon, Washington State. And those are all proportional. But the biggie, like I said, it's California on June 7th, 172, winner take all. I could see that'll clinch it for Donald, I think.
I think you're right. Hey, you have been listening to All Politics is Local here on WCRN 830. Next week, we're going to focus a little bit on the opiate crisis that is plaguing Massachusetts. We're going to have some guests. We're going to talk on about it. Governor Baker has taken the lead on that, and he's passed great legislation. But as we all know, and our guest can laugh about, laws are only good if they're enforced and if they're followed up on.
Yep.
So we're going to talk to some decision makers on that. Learn more about the program at allpoliticsislocalma.com. He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. We'll talk again next Sunday. You're tuned to All Politics is Local.
Which is Mother's Day, by the way.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, next the 8th of May. Mother's Day.
On WCRN 830.
You've been listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts with your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks, on New England's News and Talk Radio, 830 WCRN.